don't just exist. Live live on AWR SID Media.
Joining me now is our pastor for this segment, Pastor Tandima Benge, who is our Ask a Pastor pastor for this afternoon. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Naya, and I'm coming from the SAU Ministerial Convention in Durban. It's quite noisy, but I thought, let me find a little corner somewhere.
I'm appreciative of that. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Please greet my brother there.
Yes, he's
there as well. All right, let's get into it. Our question for today, Mfundis, is how should a pastor, such as yourself, counsel someone who feels judged by religious people, such as yourself?
I would say that when we come and we accept baptism,
right,
we accept the death of ourselves and the rebirth of an object lesson that can be used by God towards his mission. And therefore, we should be expectant of things that are going to be bad, others delivered by the very same people that we congregate with, even the leaders, based on the fact that the devil will use whoever he wants to use to try and achieve what he wants to achieve. But ours is to make sure that whatever fires have been created for us, God is present in them, just like it was shown with the three Hebrew boys. So we need to go in without fear, because we know it is not something that is supposed to weaken us or get over us, but it is something that will leave us strong and having a sign that God is with us. So I would encourage anyone that is going through such things, instead of trying to fight them with what you have, rather fight them with prayer. Because any obstacles that are allowed in the space of religious convocations, it has to have been allowed by God. And if he has allowed it, then surely he's got a solution and a way out for you, so that you do not come out where you were, but you come out on top and elevated. That is how I would give it to them.
You! Okay. You came out guns blazing.
I can still go on and say that when the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift the standard.
Right.
Yeah, so when things are bad, I would say to somebody, fasten your safety belt, because God is about to put some elevation in your life.
Yes, sir.
Oh, don't get me started. I can preach the whole day on this topic.
Please, go on. Yes, okay, you caught me off guard there, Phineas. You caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. Wow. Okay. Let me
yes,
get my feet back on the ground there, because yo, Phineas. Okay. Let's get back to the issue of you must expect it. Why should we expect it, Phineas? Because we are supposed to be brothers and sisters in the faith. Why should are you suggesting that we are not brothers and sisters? We are tools of the devil, like wolves in sheep's skin. Should we not expect to be brothers? Should we not expect them to be my brother's keeper? Why should I come to church? The very same people who have been inviting me to come and become a member of this fellowship, now they turn and become the Judases to me. Why?
I think when we say we're brothers and sisters, we are saying that we accept that we are all bound by the same blood that was gracious and merciful to get us out of sinfulness.
Right.
But that by no means is a state of measurement of where we are standing in our Christian journey.
Okay.
Other people are overcoming alcohol abuse,
right,
others violence, others backbiting. There's different issues. And
right,
I'm saying that if all of those things have not been consecrated to Christ,
right,
then they become obstacles that can even make a church that was united to stop being united.
Right.
So the first thing we need to accept is the fact that we are all in a hospital and nobody is perfect.
Right.
But in our inner imperfections, we are not waking up in the morning saying that we want to destroy somebody's life, but we are waking up with a strong believe that this is what we need to do for God.
Right.
Not knowing that this is something that is controlled by our inclinations.
Right.
So I wouldn't be fresh to judge and say that people are devilish or things like that. Because most of the time when people are disturbed, they are disturbed by people that earnestly think they are doing the right thing in front of God. But the only problem here is that they have not supplicated themselves to the voice of God so that they know what God expects. Normally, it's because of personal persuasions. This is what I think is right.
Right.
This is not what God has said is right.
Right.
And that is where we have the disturbances and people feeling that they have been done wrong.
Right.
And I feel that the only way that we can fix that is if we are prayerful, so that we can understand that even those that do us badly, they are still in need of the Savior. And I think if we have died to self, then our egos need to die as well. We can't ask the question, why me?
Right.
We should say, why not me? Because
right.
I said, I am dead to self and alive in Christ. And if Christ was crucified on the cross, even though he had no sin, why should we, the people that are following in his footsteps, receive that?
Yeah.
I could go the whole day, my leader.
Okay, quickly, for this, quickly, let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If then you're saying that I must accept that there are people who have not supplicated themselves to God, then who am I going to carry the burden of, and who's going to carry my burden? Who then do I turn to if all these people around me are still suffering themselves? Who's going to bear my burdens, according to Galatians 6?
According to the Bible, it says that the only person that is able to bear these burdens with us is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Even David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yeah.
Therefore, if God is with us, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Right.
Why should we fear that there are people that are not yet there when we already know that we've got Jesus on our side?
So Paul is lying to the Galatians there. He's misleading them. Why is Paul saying that instead of saying go to Christ, he's the one who's going to bear your burden? Why is Paul lying to the people in Galatia?
Paul is speaking of an ideal situation between brothers and sisters. And that ideal situation is reached when everyone has gone through the experience of sanctification.
Right,
but you should allow the fact that a person that is coming through and that has overcome physical violence and overcome an addiction with drugs, they see those as their victories. But it doesn't mean that they have fought the little battles like things like backbiting and so forth.
Yeah.
So as they are busy with their bigger battles, it means that there's still things that they carry with them, but God is patiently doing a work.
Right.
And
right.
He will finish the work that He has started with them. But ideally, this is how we should all end up being brothers and sisters that say, because God showed me grace and mercy, that is the same thing I will show for my fellow brothers and sisters. But because of the ego, because we are still a work in progress, we find that there are mistakes that we make in that journey, including us. The spiritual leaders, we make those things because sometimes we're offended that how dare a church say this when we know the church manual and we know everything.
Right.
So because of that, we let our egos get in the way. It doesn't mean that we are works of the devil, but it means that God is still finishing the work that He has started in us.
Oh, Nkabilo Funis.
Yes, sir.
Nkabilo Funis, thank you very much.
Hey, and that is a rare thing to leave you.
Hey! Nkabilo Funis, thank you very much. Let's do this again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, brother.
Thank you, and thank you to the listeners as well.
Nkosi Funis.
Thank you, sir. Sure.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.